The head of Chrysler is looking for a mate. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We already knew that the head of Fiat Chrysler is in the mood to merge with some other car company, but with General Motors shareholders' annual meeting this morning, the Wall Street Journal was reporting that Fiat Chrysler's boss is shopping around for hedge fund partners who might help put up the money to encourage a merger with General Motors. John Stoll is the Journal's bureau chief in Detroit.
Fiat is run by Sergio Marchionne, and Sergio's basic position is that the auto industry needs more consolidation. The key to the argument that the auto industry needs consolidation is the cost of innovating, the cost of meeting regulations for fuel economy is too much for a fragmented auto industry. In terms of a Fiat Chrysler GM merger, I think the odds are firmly stacked against it at this time. GM's management is not receptive. They're one of the three biggest automakers in the world. They sell almost 10 million units on their own, and they're a major player in China and obviously the biggest in the U.S. For them to take on the headaches of Fiat Chrysler, there's a lot of people who feel like this probably wouldn't help GM's case at the moment.
GM CEO Mary Barra suggested today that GM doesn't need Fiat. She said GM's working with Ford on transmissions and Honda on hydrogen fuel cells and will look at other opportunities. Related but separate, the Wall Street Journal is also reporting just now that the Justice Department is considering criminal charges against GM for concealing info about its defective ignition switches. Wire fraud would be the charge if it comes to that. That story, citing unnamed sources, broke less than an hour before the start of GM's annual meeting. In a few minutes, the government will release its monthly tally of job openings and employee turnover, the survey with the acronym JOLTS. On Tuesdays, we consult Julie Neiman, the analyst at Smith Moore & Company, who believes the job market is better than many realize.
Everybody's been hyperventilating about labor. Well, there's no doubt about it. It is sluggish growth. But the fact is, we've had 63 straight months of job growth in private payrolls ever since the big crash here. So we are on track. It's just not a fast track.
And a key question for all of us is, are we getting raises? But we learned late last week that some of us are.
And it's sluggish there as well. You know, in May, we saw wages rising on an average hourly wage. It's up about 2.3% from a year ago. That's making headlines in the right direction here. And again, the top wages are in areas where you have highly skilled workers and there's demand here. So that's where you're going to see the bigger wage increases. But even across the board, for example, the big push for McDonald's and the fast food workers, you're going to be seeing hourly wages moving up in those areas as well. The demand for jobs is still fairly strong, and you're going to see more people coming back in on a full-time basis.
Julie Neiman, the analyst from the Heartland at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Marketplace is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. Remittances, money sent to family members living overseas, are a nearly half-trillion-dollar lifeline for developing countries. But that money, including the cut that the money transfer companies take, is particularly precious after a disaster. Stan Alcorn has our story.
Jackson Heights has a little India and a little Bangladesh. And depending on who you ask, this Costamare travel agency under the train tracks is in little Colombia.
This happens to be the most diverse zip code in the Northeast.
Sal Rizzo works for Dollex, as in Dollar Express, a money transfer company. And their booth in the back of this travel agency is one of many competing for business in the neighborhood.
You know, there's a store next door. There's a store across the street. There's a store there. So if you're charging 10 when everybody else is charging 5 for the same product, you're not going to do business.
But competition isn't the only thing driving down fees. Just six blocks away, between two Tibetan restaurants, is IME Remit, where Bishnu Adhikari is sending money to his family in Nepal. They're struggling in the aftermath of the massive earthquake of April 25th. It killed more than 8,000 people, including Adhikari's brother-in-law.
I'm here in the United States, so obviously my parents are depending upon me.
He's been scraping together what he can from the 45 hours a week he spends as an Uber driver.
From that, little saving goes to Nepal. Yeah.
Like, how much did you just send just now?
I sent $600 plus $50, $650.
Normally, five of those $650 would go to IME, but the company cut its fee for all transfers to Nepal to zero for the month of May.
I expect that because of the earthquake, the flow of remittances this month will exceed $1 billion.
Dilip Ratha tracks remittances for the World Bank, and he says they spike after disasters, which means when money transfer companies waive those fees, it's one of the most effective forms of post-disaster aid.
If the fee is 4 to 5% on average, then that's about $40 to $50 million. And if that fee is waived, then that would be the amount of money in the hands of poor people who really need the money.
The third largest money transfer company, RIA, waived fees for transfers to Nepal through the end of June. But the largest, Western Union, only waived them through May 14th. And the second largest, MoneyGram, waived them through May 31st, but only for donations to the Red Cross.
Of course, it is unrealistic to expect remittance companies to waive the fees for month after month, but at least for a couple of months, it would be very useful if the fees were waived.
I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And German authorities this morning raided the headquarters of Deutsche Bank in Frankfurt. Prosecutors are looking for evidence of wrongdoing, including tax dodging by bank clients. The bank says none of its employees has been accused. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.